Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Hello again, it's Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network, taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks that make the race cars go around in circles. Steve Post here, pit road reporter for the Motor Racing Network, joined in our new digs, our new studio, by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm good. It's a lot to break down from this past weekend. 16 cautions.
Wow.
Didn't want to be second.
No, second was a bad spot to be.
Bad place to be, wasn't it? Michael McDowell found that out early. Denny Hamlin found out later. Ross Chastain inevitably found it out late.
So. It's across the board. It's championship contenders, mid-back. It didn't matter.
And racetrack was really edgy.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, you're about wide open through 3 and 4. The kind of settling over. I want to call it. I won't call it a bump because it's a dip. In 3 and 4, but that gets worse as it goes up to the racetrack. Try to run too wide. Sometimes you're really close to shock limiters. It was an interesting weekend.
Really, truly was. It was fascinating to watch. And with the, you know, with what we just come off a couple of short track races, and this thing at times reminded me a little bit more of Bristol, where it's like, okay, watch this, it's what are we going to see next?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely was one that was unpredictable. And, you know, you saw a couple guys that, you know, Alan Guffson made an aggressive call early, didn't pit in the green flag cycle that everybody used on stage one, and got to point from what he said, he was within a couple laps of having to come to pit road, and the caution came out. That cycled him from like 21st up to top 10. They could fight from there and put down a pretty good show from there.
Yeah, so let's do a little math here, crew chief, okay? You're championship-winning crew chief. 8 sets of tires, 16 cautions.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
Well, you have to think about how your weekend's going to go and how the stages go. You've got to have a plan for...
Because you do know 2 of those cautions.
Right. So you know you've got one coming at 80, you know you've got one coming at 160. I guess that's it. That's Talladega. I'm ahead to Talladega. I've already had Talladega on my mind. But you know where those 2 stage breaks are going to be and what you've got to do to get to those. And you look at your tire allotment, and as I look at it, I'm always saving a set for late.
Yeah.
So I used to put my tire sheet up, and I would break it down by number. You know, we've got 8 sets laying, so I've got 9 sets to run the race on. Now, one of those is a scuff set, but, okay, I'd take the total number of laps, which ended up being more here because we went overtime.
Overtime,
but
yeah.
267 divided by 8, and then I write down. So that as I'm telling them what set of tires to put on, I'm aware of where we are in the tire cycle of whether I'm ahead or behind on tires. And that lets me kind of make that more aggressive call if I need to, or might give me a stay-out call in some place that I know that I'm coming to a stage end that I can get to. So you can't come at every time there's a caution and put tires in your car. And we saw some guys. I actually talked to Ryan Preece Monday night on a late shift. They went 140 laps on left to end the race.
Wow.
They did 2 tires and 2 tires the last 2 stops and actually drove forward and came out with a 12th place finish. Probably could have finished in the top 10. Late restart. Took what he could have.
Shuffled, yeah.
Yeah, made sure he got the points with where they are, with the penalty they had earlier in the year, but they're continuing to work their way forward. There were a lot of different strategies played out.
No, it's fascinating. It really was.
You saw 2 green flag cycles. You saw one in stage 1. That's the one that Gustafson took advantage of and got Chase Elliott up in the top 10. And from there, Chase drove a phenomenal race. We'll get into that in a second. Yeah. The other one was the last one in the final stage. You saw some cars, Brad Keselowski, Matt McCall made an aggressive call. Yeah. He was one of a handful of guys that didn't pit on the green flag cycle. They rode it out to get to the caution. That cycled him forward. Brad was in a fighting position to he was pushing on Chase Elliott's bumper to get him out in the lead there in the last couple of restarts. So I thought there were some strategy pieces that came forward. I thought we saw Chase Elliott drive a more assertive race than we've seen in 2 years. I thought he was aggressive on restarts. Yeah. I mean, he put himself, he went from third to first. He put Tyler Reddick and Denny Hamlin three wide and cleared him into turn one. That got him track position. And he got Denny on an ensuing restart that had a caution. It came out timely.
Yeah, no. You take advantage of that. When you look at Chase Elliott and Alan Gustafson, Alan's 39th career win, which that's starting to add up. You're starting to do pretty good there. His first one was 2005 with Kyle Busch. So he's been a long-term winner here, but it's been a long dry spell, 42 races. Got to be relieving, but I don't know that we didn't see this coming. I mean, they've been getting better and better, it seems like.
Well, if you look at their average finishing position, they're top five in the series. They're not lost.
No.
As much as everybody thinks they should win every race. So I think, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, the 9 car made the playoffs last year in the owner's side.
Right.
Allen and Chase made it to the championship 8 in that round without many playoff points. They executed, and they've been putting races, they just haven't dominated races.
Right.
And we haven't seen them dominate yet, but they executed, and Chase executed. Chase, when it came to restarts, Chase was up on the wheel. He was being aggressive. He made good moves that were aggressive moves.
That's good, and here we are. So, picking up the win. Last win was Talladega in October 2022.
Yes, yeah. And the last win for Hooters sponsor was Pocono 1992. Really cool to see Chase get Hooters back into victory lane.
Yeah, it's such the Hooters is a fascinating partner in the sport. Mm-hmm. They're certainly not one of the biggest ones. They're certainly an eye-catching one because of their brand and who they are. But when you know the history of the sport, going back to Alan Kowicki and how instrumental it was really neat. Kudos to Chase for the nod to Alan Kowicki in the championship that Alan bested his dad in. I just think that was a lot of class at the end to show that.
Definitely was. And bring back the tribute to somebody we lost way too early.
Right.
Lost him early in 93, but in a plane wreck.
Yeah.
But cool to see Chase do that kind of tribute back to Alan and bring back a little history. That's a cool part of our sport.
Nothing wrong with that, that's for sure. You mentioned Brad Keselowski, Matt McCall. Theirs has been fascinating to me. Their last month and a half has been fascinating. Because
their race at Texas was fascinating. They were lost in stage one. I mean, they were like ready to go a lap down.
Yeah, ready to go home.
And then just kept working on their car, got themselves in position, and really put together a great run. And I felt like at the end, they had a shot.
Yeah.
They did. They could have won that race given restarts lining up the same way. I think the second to last restart, he was pretty aggressive on pushing Chase. Wiggled pretty hard, but he didn't get out of the groove and didn't give Brad the room to make that move. But just continue to work hard. That was blue collar day for the 16.
Yeah, boy, and that's you give that driver a blue collar day and a chance at the end. And I don't believe if they do that on a semi regular basis, Brad's going to be in victory lane. This streak that we keep talking about is going to be over because he's just that good at what he does.
This weekend.
I was going to go there.
I mean, this weekend.
I did an affiliate hit. I did an affiliate, an MRN radio affiliate, where we call affiliates across the country. And last week on the show, we talked about how close Chase Elliott is, and maybe they can do it. And then so my buddy JB that I do the show with, he said, how about Brad Keselowski? I said, well, remember that conversation we had a week ago about Chase Elliott?
Yeah.
We could be having the same conversation about Brad Keselowski next week. I just, he's so good at Talladega. But this team, they've had a few hiccups, but boy, when they've been good, they've been really good.
Yeah, and they're still keeping themselves in the playoff hunt.
Yeah,
they're right there around the lane. I actually kind of did a breakdown on NASCAR Inside the Race this week, but we did a little deeper. But you look at the number of champions we've got around the cutoff line. Our cutoff line right now is Joey Logano's last one in, Kyle Busch the first one out.
Really?
And Brad Keselowski's right there with him. Like we've got.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot to look forward to in the rest of the regular season.
It's going to be awesome. It really is. It's going to be fun stuff. Daniel Suarez and Matt Swiderski Squid, fifth place finish. That was one of those blue-collar day also where it was like they just kept grinding and grinding and grinding. They got the track position at the end, and Daniel did what he needed to do to get it. Very, very strong. They've had two top 10 finishes this year. Of course, they've got the win at Atlanta in the bank, but you've got to have more than a win at Atlanta, and I have to feel – I heard Justin Austin Marks on Sirius talking to Moody. Got to feel really good that they were able to come out of there with that finish that they got.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, Trackhouse has to feel pretty good up to the last lap. They were in a great position with both cars. But it's momentum for them to build forward and continue to work on their craft.
This sport is about that momentum working forward. Where I'm going is welcome North Carolina. It wasn't Austin Dillon who finished eighth and Kyle Busch and Randall Burnett finished ninth. It wasn't they ran up front and were challenging for the lead. They blue-collared their way. They worked their way in there. It's a step in the right direction. It's momentum in the right direction for that
team. It's a building block. And this is race two of Justin Alexander being back with Austin Dillon.
Big step, yes.
And I feel like, all of Austin's wins have been with Jason Alexander. Justin Alexander, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I think that's a good interjection for Austin's confidence.
Yeah.
So we'll see where the two of these guys can continue to grow this program. And we're out of the short track
which
season,
is a weak spot up there.
Which is their nemesis. So we'll see how this plays out. You're bringing the defending race winner
to Talladega. Yeah,
no doubt. Randall Burnett. So it'd be interesting to see how this weekend plays out.
Last week on the program, we had a really good visit with Luke Lambert.
Yes.
Love our chat with Luke Lambert. And you can find it. You go back and find it on YouTube where we're at, because there was more than just Texas talk. Luke really gave us a great breakdown of where they were at. That's what made their 10th place finish so fascinating to me, because they overachieved from where they were. I don't think I'm surprised.
Yes.
But they overachieve from what their goals are. They had a really good day.
They're out kicking their coverage.
Yes.
But I don't know that we shouldn't just expect them to be pretty good kickers.
I agree.
It's a growing thing. You have Carson coming out of the Truck Series, but had that really good run last year at Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was.
Yeah, it was Gateway.
Before they had a brake rotor issue. But Luke's solid. He's got a lot of experience. He's won races. He understands this whole cup thing. And Carson's got a ton of talent. I expect this pairing to be decent. I do. And a top 10 finish, it's above the bar that they
set.
But I don't think it's beyond the grasp of what this program can do.
Yeah, I agree with you totally. That's as that race unfolded and I saw the results, and when we have all those cautions at the end, you're like, who ended up where?
Mm-hmm.
You see the final results. That just I reflected back on our conversation, and just good on them. Really good stuff. Other winners down at Talladega Super. Is there anything else on the cup side that just stood out to you? What else on the cup side? Anything else?
No, I think you hit most of them. I love that you're going to transition back into Saturday.
Oh my gosh!
I actually got to interview Ryan Sieg's crew chief yesterday.
Yeah.
Monday night on
crew call.
No, on late shift.
Late shift.
Crew call's here.
Crew call's here. Yeah. I get all my shows.
I'm all shuffled up.
I haven't called it Wing Nation yet, so we're still doing all right.
We're good. But, what a phenomenal run for that 39 team.
Yeah.
And I hope that's where you were going to go.
Yeah, no, I was going to go right there, yeah.
Ran in the top 10 all day long.
There's the thing, yes.
That was a part. Like, it wasn't just they kind of fell into it. They ran up front. And they didn't cycle themselves with a two-tire stop.
Nope.
They did four tires like everybody else. A little bit slower, lost some track position, but he restarted that last restart ninth on tires.
He was rolling.
Had four cars, I think, that stayed out.
Mm-hmm.
But he restarted ninth. He was fourth in like three laps.
Yeah.
And he was leading in another two or three. He disposed of people. Just drove up and passed him.
Just he didn't mess around with anything. He took it.
I wonder if the moment overcame him. Because Sam Mayer ran him down the last two laps, but that's one of those things that's just a challenge.
A great finish. I can't imagine.
Two or three inches.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I wonder. And again, Ryan's. This is unfamiliar territory.
Yes.
And do you get too cautious? Do you get too
protective? I think you do.
I think it's human nature.
We've had this discussion about several things. We've joked a little bit about it. I don't think Ty Gibbs is ready to win yet.
Right.
I think you've got to get 100 races. I think you've got to be put in those positions and learn from those positions. I think that if you look at Chase, we talked about Chase Elliott this weekend. Chase Elliott didn't win until he got to like lap or race 100.
Right.
You have to learn how to race the different situations. And this is a learning curve for Ryan Sieg. He got an opportunity to, I think, was in the best position. But that moment can overcome you. Now, he's got Tim Fito in his ear trying to help him through it. I thought did a really good job of it. Sometimes you got to lose a few before you can figure out how to win them.
Well, exactly. And the next time they're there, they might get a different result. They might be 5 inches ahead of where they were at, and the 2 or 3 inches will benefit them.
But really, I was really impressed with the run they put together all day long. Yeah. They ran in the top 10 most all the day, it seemed like. And really, the drive he had from that last restart to get the lead was
impressive.
I actually asked him last night, I'm like, did you do something different? Like, no, he just... I didn't know if they blew the tires up like qualifying pressures, because that thing took off like a...
Gassed it up. Yeah.
Yes, it did.
Really cool.
Really impressive there. And the truck race was pretty spectacular, too.
Getting the win in the Xfinity Series, the Andy's Frozen Custard 300 with Sam Mayer, Marty Lindley. They've come through a lot of challenges. Yes. Marty's one of my favorite people. Just really... I always when someone wins the race, I'm like, who's my crew chief that won the race? It was Marty to win that. Really cool. Truck Series, boy, a veteran combination here. Kyle Busch. You put Kyle Busch and Brian Patty together, and they're going to do some damage, and they did some damage on Friday night.
Yeah, definitely did. But we had our typical, we had some talent of the Truck Series right there, second, third, fourth.
Well, and we've talked about this, those three. We've talked a lot about Corey Heim. We've talked a lot about Christian Eckes. I think Nick Sanchez, you can make the same. I think he
a lot of talent there.
I think last week we had two into the final four, and I'm not sure that Nick Sanchez might not be a third into the final four. Again, a long way down the road. Although in the Truck Series, it's not a long way.
We're about halfway through the season for the Truck Series. not quite, but it's close. Yeah. So the regular season.
Right, regular season. So, Lots of good stuff happening in NASCAR, and a fun weekend. A very uncertain weekend in Texas. If you didn't like the way it was going, we'll turn your head away. Come back in 30 seconds, and your guy might be leading the race. So,
yes.
Crazy stuff, that is for sure. What we're going to do, we're in a new studio here today, obviously, and it's spectacular. We appreciate it.
We fumbled through a couple technical difficulties, but it's a great situation. Right. I think it's going to be awesome.
It really is. One of the technical difficulties we fumbled through is linking up with somebody else. So we're going to step away. We're just going to come back, and we'll preview Talladega, and we'll roll on into that. So stay with us. More crew call in just a moment.
Napa! Silence is golden, especially when it comes to brakes. That's why Napa Silent Guard are built to be one of the smoothest and most quiet brakes on the market. Made with fiber-reinforced shims that eliminate noise for the life of the pad, rubber-coated hardware for a better fit, and quality design that meets and exceeds OE performance. Silent Guard brakes deliver the stopping power drivers demand. Available now at Napa locations nationwide. Napa!
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Our late great leader, Barney Hall, had a phrase, they don't race them anywhere in the world like they do at Talladega. We're fixing for who knows what, Todd, this weekend.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but we're fixing for fuel mileage.
Well, you had to go there.
I'm going to be honest. That's where we're going. Tires don't really matter that much, and how much time you spend on pit road and where you can cycle out. That's the name of the game. So we're going to see a lot of guys running part throttle, not wanting to lead, but you're going to see teams that do want to lead too. So it's interesting because the other kind of caveat to this is that we have so many speedway racers that are just below the cut line,
right,
in points. And you've got to look at this weekend. If you go down through it, and I don't have it all in front of me, but Kyle Busch is the first one out. Won here last year. Brad Keselowski. I think this is the most winningest racetrack he's got. He wins there all the time. He's just down there. Austin Dillon, 8th place finish. We said it at Texas, but a great speedway racer. Yeah. I think he could win his way in, and that could upset things. Todd Gilliland has led the most laps of anybody in speedway races this year.
Yeah.
I think that 38 team, I think they can be a factor that we all like are blown away with what happens. Michael McDowell won a Daytona 500.
Yeah, there's a lot of those guys.
There are so many guys. Justin Haley's won a speedway race.
Yeah, you're right.
You look at, and these guys all see this as an opportunity to go get themselves in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So those guys, I think, will be more aggressive. We'll see what happens there. This place can race four wide and be comfortable that way, if I could dare use the word comfortable. But this is the first time we get to a place, a Talladega, where you could run three wide And all three manufacturers have enough cars to do their own thing.
Yes, because the Toyota Dynamic is significantly better than it was in the past.
Yes.
And then, you know, but you mentioned it. Remember we had that phase in the Daytona 500 where the pace slowed just dramatically down when I think Blaney and forget who was up front, they were just saving fuel.
Christopher Bell, maybe?
Christopher Bell, yeah, it was Christopher Bell and Blaney was just saving fuel. So stay tuned. We're going to be watching fuel mileage. We're going to have manufacturer mates pitting together. So how do you work with your manufacturer mate but save enough fuel to be the first guy of your manufacturer off from pit road? I mean, that's fascinating.
Well, I don't want to be the first guy my manufacturer off pit road.
You don't?
No. No, I want to be about third.
Okay.
Because I can save more fuel running third than the guy that's leading.
There you go. You can save
it's just thing. It's one of those things. When you look back to, and this, it was funny because my old engineer and I were talking a little bit about this, but everybody says fuel mileage racing now. We've fuel mileage raced these speedway races since like 2013, Miles and I had. And it's just one of those things. We won with Ryan in 2020 at Talladega, and it was the same thing. We came out like fourth or fifth in line of the Fords, but we could he was way off the throttle.
Yeah.
We saved more fuel. We got to our fuel number where we could go to the end. We got there like a lap and a half before the rest of our manufacturer mates. So we pulled out and passed them.
And could go.
And just, we went. You
know, just went, yeah.
And then I remember because we were behind the four of, you know, Rodney Childers was and Kevin Harvick. We were behind them. And Rodney says, I need another two laps. And I said, Ryan, time to go. You know, we're good to go. And Ryan pulls out, passes Kevin. And then about two laps later, Kevin pulls up behind us. But
he was behind you.
Yes.
The key is he's behind you at that point. The damage is done.
There's strategy to this. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, there's strategy to it at the end, but there's strategy in the middle because you spend less time. If you've saved fuel, you'll spend less time. So you can come out. I said you want to come out from pit road first, but you can control that to come out second or third in line, put yourself in a better spot if you're not having to fill that tank up or going less than everybody else.
And ideally, you don't. And this is kind of the piece that becomes a challenge for this is that you may want to come out as a leader of your manufacturer because you may not be the leading manufacturer.
Well, there's that.
So, I mean, I want to lead the Fords if there's three Chevrolets in front of me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
or Toyotas.
You can save riding behind a Chevy as much as you can riding behind anybody.
Yes, I can save riding behind anybody. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. When you look at it, stages at 60, 180, and then you end up at a 60, 120, then 188 total.
So there's three real equal stages.
Yeah,
60
you're going to have
60, 68 laps, yeah.
Yep. So in the same range, you're going to have to stop for fuel. But yeah. I think you're going to see some guys that, you know, you're going to see everybody come for fuel only during the stages.
Sure.
They'll come put tires and fuel on at the end of the stage. You probably put four on because you need to put so much fuel in it that you might as well. You're going to be waiting on fuel anyhow. So you'll see four tires at the end of stages. Now, that does bring the caveats that crew chiefs that aren't going to score stage points that are in a difficult position, they may put tires on. They may take a little bit more fuel to try to shorten up that end of the stage piece.
Right.
And you're not going to put four on, but you might put two and stay for another second and a half of gas.
Yeah.
And you know what that gap is that you can suck back up to your group.
Right.
So you may play that game this weekend. We may see a little bit of that on pit road. You'll be down there talking about
fun
it.
Fun to see. Fun to see. It always is. Talladega is always exciting. That is for sure.
So. Yes. Phenomenal racetrack.
Yep.
2.66 miles of wide open everywhere. And you can be three wide is very comfortable. Four wide can happen. It's and then we'll see what the chaos is when we come to the white flag.
Survive to be there at the end. To be there at the end.
Yes.
That is for sure. Motor Racing Network is there all weekend long, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. On Saturday, we have our qualifying show. I got that right.
Yep.
I'm so used to practice and qualifying.
It's qualifying
show. Only show. 12:30, the Arca Menard Series kicks off with the General Tire 200, and it's a big, big day on Saturday, 3:30 Eastern Time, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, the Ag Pro 300. Our airtime on Motor Racing Network on Sunday, 2 o'clock Eastern Time for the Geico 500 here at Talladega Super Speedway. It is going to be an awesome, awesome time. Good times.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. Get to join everybody down there. It'd be a good weekend.
We got Todd Gordon the next 3 weeks with next three MRN broadcasts.
Talladega, Kansas, and Darlington.
Oh, man.
I can't wait to get to Darlington. I can't wait to get to any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, really three spectacular racetracks. For me, I enjoy them all.
It'll be fun.
Be good times.
That is for sure. He is Todd Gordon. I am Steve Post. We appreciate you joining us this time here on MRN's Crew Call.
Hey everyone, it's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.